thanks for joining us here for this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center, located in Portland, Oregon. In this podcast, Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center, is continuing a series called Simplify, Getting Back to the Basics of Simple Faith. The message for this podcast is titled, You Are Gifted and Talented, and the key Bible references comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now here's Ray.
And I'm going to actually be reading from several different translations today, so I hope that doesn't frustrate you. And if you look at the top of that chapter, the heading for that, and if you have an NIV Bible, I don't know what the other ones say, but in the NIV, the title is Spiritual Gifts. Spiritual Gifts. And we're going to talk about spiritual gifts today as we continue, as we begin to wind down this sermon series called Simplify, Getting Back to the Basics of Our Faith. And we've been talking about our journey as disciples and our growth into Christ-likeness. And this business of spiritual gifts is vitally important to our health and welfare as disciples of Jesus Christ and as a collection of disciples known as the church body. So we're going to talk about that today. So speaking of gifts, show of hands on this one. How many of you love to receive gifts? Come on now, how many of you love to receive gifts? Well, that's about 101% of us. We all like that. That's because God created us with the capacity for receiving gifts. God created us with the capacity to receive gifts. And some of you that I know very personally, not to mention names, but her initials are Linda Noah, have a larger capacity for receiving gifts than others. And that's why God also created Nordstrom for your spouses, if you have a larger than life capacity for receiving gifts. But we have this capacity, this love for gifts, because we have a creator with a very large capacity for giving gifts. God is a giver. Did you know that? Fundamental to God's character is he is a giver. The most famous verse in the Bible, the most well-known verse in the world says, for God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. He's a giver. He's a giver. Jesus said that not only is this God, this creator out there who brought all of this into being, but he said he's also our Father. And he said, how much more will the Father give good gifts? Or how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to his children who ask? The Apostle Peter said that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. The church father James wrote that God is a liberal giver. He wasn't speaking politically at that point. He was just saying that he's very generous in how he gives. And he said that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And with him, there is no shadow of turning. In other words, he will be true to his character as long as he exists, which is forever. And he is a giver. The Apostle Paul said that out of the abundance of his grace, God has given us his gifts. And the moment you surrendered your life to God by accepting his Son, by expressing faith in Jesus Christ, God gave you three unsurpassable gifts, three indescribable, unspeakable, unsurpassable gifts. First of all, best of all, I think, they're all good, but best of all, he gave you the gift of eternal life. The moment you got saved, he gifted you with eternal life. Forever you will live, forever in his presence. So the eternal dwelling of God, heaven, is now your new destiny in life. Paul wrote in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Ugh, that's the bad news. But the good news follows. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you grateful for eternal life? When everything else is going horribly bad, you have eternal life. A gift from God. Not only have you been given eternal life, but you have been gifted. The moment you got saved, you were gifted with the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Father sent to dwell in your life. God is living in you. He took up residence in you. Now, that is different from what we speak about in terms of the baptism of or with or in the Holy Spirit. That's a separate and distinct experience that we teach here. And if you would like to know more about our theology or our doctrine on that, if you would like to experience this baptism with fire and with power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you to come to an event that I think will be very helpful to you. It's on February 25th. It is our Alpha Course Holy Spirit Day, and it's on a Saturday in the morning, and you come and you will learn what this church believes and what we practice, and then you will be invited to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But once you receive at salvation the presence, the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, child of God becomes your new identity. Child of God is now your new identity in life. Romans 8:15 says, you receive the Spirit, capital S, you receive the Spirit of sonship or of adoption or the Spirit of childhood. And by the Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father, Papa, God. There's this longing for us to connect with God who is Father. Now, that longing isn't just natural within us. You know, to some degree it is. But the reason you long for relationship with Father is because the Holy Spirit is in there causing you to reach out to connect with Father God. You receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. And the third gift God gives at salvation is spiritual gifts. The moment you were saved, God implanted in your life spiritual gifts. These are supernatural abilities, not natural abilities. You have some of those too. And sometimes, often, your natural abilities will correspond to the supernatural abilities God places within you. These are supernatural abilities for doing God's work. Because when you get saved, you get on board with mission. God calls you to something that you can't do on your own, but you can do if he helps you. And he did by giving you supernatural abilities. And once that happens, then serving God becomes your new purpose in life. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. We call these abilities, these supernatural abilities, spiritual gifts. And every believer has at least one. Probably more. You probably have two or three that work together. But every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Turn to somebody and say, man, I didn't know this, but you're incredibly gifted. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you really are. Another translation of Romans 12:6 says that these gifts are allotted to us by God's grace. By God's grace. In other words, what that means is that they aren't earned. They're God's free gift to you. The fact that I stand up here every Sunday to express a gift, a leadership gift, a teaching gift, I didn't earn this. I didn't even want it, frankly. I'm as surprised as anyone that I'm up here doing this. I really am. But God said, this is your gift. I'm putting this in you. And it's by, and definitely you know this in me, is by God's grace and by God's grace alone. It's a free gift, not earned. Not deserved, it's God's gift. Furthermore, you didn't choose that gift. I didn't choose to be pastor, shepherd, or teacher, or the gifts that God has given me. God chose that for me. God chose your gifts for you. God chose them for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there we are now. I want you to look at verse 11. Reading in the New International, the New Living Translation, it says, he alone decides which gift each person should have. So if you don't care much for the gift that I have that I express every Sunday, you take it up with God. It's his fault. God chose. He alone, the Holy Spirit, distributes gifts as he wills. Now, when you were born, God gave you physical gifts, physical appearance, physical gifts that make you uniquely you. And when you were born again, God gave you spiritual gifts that give you your one-of-a-kind, unique, God-given spiritual shape. We talk about that around here in terms of our shape. So not only does our shape include our spiritual gifts, that's kind of the first thing that we identify as a part of our spiritual shape, but it also includes our heart. The heart is what gives you your passion, what motivates you, what drives you in life. There's something that you were born with that just drives you. It's your passion. It's your motivation in life. Now, for some of you, that's a little bit messed up. You're driven to do things that you shouldn't be doing. That just kind of needs to be redeemed and brought under the control, the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. But God has given you certain passions in life. That's called your heart. Not only your heart, but you have certain abilities, not supernatural abilities, but you were born with certain natural abilities that you have, that I don't have, that other people don't have, but you have those. And then also God gave you your unique personality. And boy, looking out there, some of you have some real personalities. God gave you that, your temperament, who you are on the inside. And then God allowed you to have some experiences, life experiences along the way. All of these things interact in your life with God's design and God's plan for you. That gives you your unique spiritual shape, all unique factors that God uses and is using right now to shape you for a satisfying and a significant experience of life. This morning, I want to talk about the first part of your spiritual shape, your God-given shape. So I want us to look at spiritual gifts for a few minutes. And I want to give you three reasons, not four reasons, but three reasons. Why it's important to your growth as a disciple. Why it's important for your health and welfare and well-being as a disciple to know and to use your spiritual gifts. Three things. First of all, number one, your gifts reveal God's plan for your life. Your gifts reveal the path that you ought to be taking. You ever wonder what God has in mind for you? You ever try to figure out, God, what's the path you have for my life? You ever pray that prayer? I think we all have. Some of you are probably praying it right now. I talked to some people in the first service, a young couple that was praying this prayer. God, what's your will for my life? You ever pray that? God, what do you want? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What's the path? God, what is your will for my life? Well, listen, the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God implanted in you at salvation are your clue. Now, we do all kinds of things to try to figure out God's will for our life. The number one most obvious clue to what that should be are your spiritual gifts. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verses 4 through 6. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. They're different kinds of service, but the same Lord. They're different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them. Notice, the gifts determine your service, your ministry to the Lord. Your gifts determine your working, what you're to be doing in your life, both inside and, I think, outside of the church. Now, you're wondering, well, what are these gifts? Where do I find what the gifts look like? Well, there's different places. In fact, twice here in 1 Corinthians 12, you will see a list of gifts in the early part of the chapter, in the latter part. If you go over to Romans 12, I've referenced that as well. You're going to find a list of gifts that some correspond, but some are different from what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 12. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. If you looked at Ephesians chapter 4, you're going to find that there's another set of gifts that are listed. Your gift determines your service to the Lord and your working in life. So, if you are gifted in administration, one of the gifts, for example, if you're gifted in administration, God wants you to be involved in organizing things. If you're gifted in teaching, then God wants you to be involved in communicating eternal truth. If God has gifted you in evangelism, then God wants you to be in a role where you're sharing faith, you're sharing Christ with the unconverted. Now, that does not mean that if you're not gifted as an evangelist that you shouldn't be sharing your faith. We all should, because that is a responsibility. But there is a role that some of us have because we're gifted in that we need to be in a ministry and in a lifestyle where we are having spiritual conversations and leading people to Jesus. If you're gifted in giving, that's a spiritual gift, the gift of giving. What should you be doing? You should be taking me out to lunch after church today because you need to express that gift in a very nice place. Whatever your spiritual gift, that determines your service, your working. It determines how you are to use your life for God. That, as you can imagine, it's only logical that that is critical to your discipleship. Notice also the word different is used three separate times in that verse. Different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. Your gifts, along with the rest of your shape, make you different from every other believer. Not weird, although that might be the case, but not the gifts that make you weird. You know, you make yourself weird, but it's the gifts make you different from any other person in this room. Likewise, listen to this, it explains why you see life differently. You see some things differently than I do. If you were standing up here looking at what I'm looking at, we would see it differently. We would feel differently about certain things. We would like certain things in life more than others, where somebody else might not. If you're gifted in evangelism, for instance, all you're going to think about is sharing your faith with the lost. But someone gifted in teaching might say, look, we don't need any more non-Christians here until we disciple the ones that we found. We got to teach them. We got to disciple them. Our gifts, listen to this, our gifts motivate, energize, and direct us. They motivate, they energize, and they direct us in life and in ministry. Let me illustrate it this way. I want you to imagine that a different spiritual gift represents every family member at the dinner table. And suppose one of the family members who is serving dessert drops one of the desserts on the floor. How would the other gifts experience that? How would they respond? Well, if you were gifted in mercy, if you were a mercy giver by gifting, you would probably say, oh, don't feel bad. That's happened to me. It happens to everybody. You're okay. If you're gifted in serving, you would say, hey, let me help clean that up. If you're gifted in teaching, you would say, I knew that was going to happen because I saw the plate and it was imbalanced on one side. If you're gifted in exhortation or encouragement, you're going to go, hey, man, don't worry about that. You got all the other desserts just fine. You know, you're okay. If you're gifted in administration, you're going to say, now, Linda, why don't you go get the mop? Ron, why don't you go get another dessert? And you pick this one, you pick this one up and you clean it up and we're going to be just fine. I'll sit here and keep the conversation going while you guys do that. If you're gifted prophetically, you're going to go, I knew that was going to happen. And that's what happens when you're not careful. Now, those aren't wrong. They're just different. They're not right. They're not wrong. That's why we see differently. We're all different because God has given a variety of gifts to the body of Christ. That's God's design. So among other things, what that means is this. Don't let anybody else impose their gift on you. And don't you impose your gift on somebody else. If you're gifted as an evangelist, then don't be upset that not everybody has the same passion for the lost that you do. If you're gifted in teaching, don't get cranky because nobody else cares about discipleship. Not true. You just see it that way. You know, if you're gifted in serving, you know, don't get upset because everybody doesn't run to the tables to volunteer for ministry. You're gifted that way. They're not wrong. You're not right. It's just the way it is. Simply let your gift lead you to follow God's path for your discipleship, because it sets forth the path. It explains, it identifies God's plan for your life. Number two, your spiritual gifts restore value to your life. They restore value to your life. There's a glaring deficit in humanity. Every human being is living with a deficit that has happened because of sin and because of Satan drawing us into the current of dissatisfaction. That deficit is a sense of insignificant. What is the human deficit? A sense of insignificance, a loss of worth, and a lack of purpose, which gets expressed in the question, do I really matter? Probably all of us in this room have asked that question at some point in our lives. Maybe some of you are asking that question right now. Do I really matter? Does my life have meaning? Or am I just taking up space? Am I just breathing in perfectly good oxygen that should go to somebody else? Do I matter? Now, that's just the drift that we flow into because of sin and because of Satan. But I want you to hear this. Your spiritual gifts eliminates that deficit thinking. Your spiritual gifts eliminate that deficit. 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul describes how our gifts determine both our fit and our function in the body of Christ. He says, all of you form one body of Christ, and each one is a distinct and a necessary part of it. So let's just take a moment to break that down real quickly. It says, you are a part of Christ's body. Wow. Wow. Now think about that. You're part of Christ's body. That in itself, if nothing else went right in your life, that in itself gives you significance, doesn't it? You're part of the family of God. You're part of the bride of Christ. You're part of the body of Jesus Christ. He's the head. We're the body. It also says that each of us are a distinct part of that body. We're a distinct part of that body. That means you're unique. That means you're rare. That means that you cannot be duplicated. That means nobody else can be and do what you are. You are irreplaceable and thus invaluable. And that gives you eternal worth. You're a distinct part of Christ's body. That gives you worth. And it says you're a necessary part. Not unnecessary, but a necessary part. That gives you purpose. There's not a person in this room that is not important, that is not wanted, that is not needed. You see, your gifts are the conduit through which God flows his blessings to everybody else in this church. That's just the way God operates. His grace flows through your gifts. And if you haven't identified, if you're not using, if you're not operating in your spiritual gifts, the rest of us lose out. Because nobody else can do what only you can do. Nobody else can fulfill what God has designed and called you to fill. The rest of us lose because you're not getting on board with God and his plan. The rest of us are cheated. There's a book called Life in His Body. I love this story. It's written by a man named Gary Enrig. And he tells of two students who graduated from the Chicago Kent School of Law. And the highest ranking student in this class was a blind man named Overton. And when the graduation exercises came, he was given this distinct honor of being the highest in his class. But when he got up to receive the award, he insisted that at least half of the credit should go to his friend, who was an armless man named Kasperzak. Well, these two met when school first started, when the armless Kasperzak guided the blind Overton down a flight of stairs, and a friendship began. And that friendship became an incredible picture of interdependence. The blind man carried the books of the armless man everywhere that they went, and the armless man read those books aloud as they studied, and together they graduated law school and got their degrees, and they did it in style. They compensated for each other's deficiencies. They filled in each other's gaps, and that is a great picture of how God designed the body of Christ to work. We need each other. And when you understand and when you operate in your gifts, you will begin to experience a profound sense of significance that cannot be duplicated by any other experience in life. You can experience significant significance in life, but not at the level, not at the level that God wants you to feel significant, to be significant. That only happens by you understanding and then operating in your gifts. Your spiritual gifts restore value to your life that the enemy has leached away from you. And then, number three, it's an important one. Your gifts release joy in your life. How many of you want to be joyful? Your gifts are the conduit of joy in your life. Every human being has the desire to accomplish, to feel the satisfaction of making a difference, and to experience the delight of having an impact in this world. When you use your gifts, you're not only productive, but you'll enjoy it. You will not only be fruitful, but you will be fulfilled. You will experience joy. I love how John describes this in John chapter 15, one of my favorite passages, John 15, 8 through 16. Let me read verse 8. It says, "This is how my Father is glorified, in you, in your becoming fruitful, and in being my disciples." And then down in verse 11, Jesus says, "I've told you this so that you can share in my joy, and that your joy may be complete." There are some of you, there's some people in this church that are not very joyful. Not in this service, in the first service. They don't have much joy in their life. They're kind of grouchy. They can be cranky. I'll tell you probably why. They haven't discovered their gift. They're not using it. They're not fruitful. They're not experiencing the joy that flows into them when they're doing what God has created them to do. Or maybe they're fruitful, but they're not understanding, wow, this is the highest order of life, is to serve God and to produce fruit for Him. God's plan is that every believer would be both fruitful and joyful. You'll only be fruitful when you understand and operate in your gifts. And real joy, I mean real, lasting, true joy, comes in knowing you're productive, you're purposeful, and you're producing glory for God alone. That's where the real joy in life comes. Interestingly, the term for both gift and joy in the New Testament, in the Greek, is from the same word. It's the word charis, charis. We get the word charismatic from it, charisma. It actually also is the word that we use for grace. Grace and gift and joy, all from the same word, charis. That's not by mistake. That's not by mistake. You will find true joy by unwrapping the gifts that God has given you and using them to serve Him by grace for His glory. That's where joy comes from. And I want to be joyful. And I want you to be joyful. Your gifts are the key. The thrill of God using you is the greatest joy in life. It is. And your spiritual gifts release that fulfillment. Release that joy. And so, for these reasons, these three reasons that I've just talked about, your spiritual gifts are more critical to your discipleship, to your growth and health as a disciple than you have ever imagined before. That's why we need to talk about this. Your gifts are essential. Now, the question then is, at this point, so what? What do I do about that? How can I discover then, what am I to do with my gift? If it's that important to God, and that important in my life, what do I do now? Well, to begin with, discover your gift. What's the next step? Discover your gift. I don't know how many of you have discovered your gift or your top two or three gifts. I'm not going to do a survey today, but if you haven't, if you don't know, you need to discover your gift. 1 Corinthians 14:1 tells us, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Note the word desire. Growing disciples ought to passionately pursue knowledge of their gifts so they can fervently fulfill God's plan for their lives. How do you discover your gift? Well, two things. You explore and you experiment. One way to explore is by taking the gifts assessment that we're going to give you at our Connection Experience workshop on March 4th. There's a flyer in the bulletin. I hope you just take a quick look at that right now. I hope you'll sign up for it. And in particular, there's a class. You don't need to go to these classes in any order, but there's a class there called Shape. Already talked about that. And that is where you will take an assessment that will reveal to you your top spiritual gifts. So I would encourage you today to begin to make plans to be a part of that Connection Experience. The other way is to experiment. To experiment. Just jump into a ministry. Just get involved. Don't wait for the Shape class. Don't wait for next year. Don't wait for a better time. You're gifted to serve. You ought to be doing it right now. So jump into a ministry. And I would encourage you to, there's another flyer in the bulletin today that talks about a lot of service opportunities. I hope you'll take a look at this. I hope you'll begin to tick off the ones that you might be interested in. And before you leave today, there's a number of tables that have been set out in our foyer that represent these areas of service, these ministries. So I hope that before you go, take some time to visit our service ministry fair in the lobby today. And volunteer. Get involved. Don't worry if it's the right one or not. Begin to experiment and see if it is a good fit for you. If it's not, we'll adjust it later on. But get in the game right now. If you get into a ministry and it's making you miserable and it's making everybody else miserable in that ministry, it's probably the wrong one, and we'll help you to figure that out. But the point is, don't wait. Get involved. You were created to serve, so start doing it. So discover your gift, and secondly, develop it. Not only discover it, but develop it. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:14, don't neglect the spiritual gift you received. He says again to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, fan into flame the gift that God gave you. The story is told of Michelangelo, the great artist who was one day pushing a block of granite down the street toward his shop. He was working feverishly to get this thing down there. And a neighbor, one of his neighbors, sitting on his porch, kind of lazily yelled out, "Hey, why are you working so hard pushing that block of rock?" And he said, Michelangelo said, "It's because there's an angel inside of this granite that wants to get out. There's an angel inside of that granite that needs to get out." I don't know if there's an angel inside that block of granite that is you. But there's at least one spiritual gift that is waiting to get out. So develop your gift. Now, just because you have the gift within you, and you do, doesn't mean it's a masterpiece already. You've got to cultivate it. God gives you the gift. You've got to cultivate it. You know, I stand up here every Sunday and I express a teaching gift. God gave that to me for some reason. It surprises me more than anyone else, but He gave it to me. But he expected me, and he expects me to cultivate it. And so every week, I work at this. Maybe more so than other people with this gift, because it's, you know, it's not as natural to me as it is to others. But I spend hours of my time and loads of energy working on my teaching gift because I'm convinced there's an angel inside these sermons, and one of these days it's going to get out. And it's going to declare the glory of God. God gave us the gifts. We have to cultivate them. Discover it, develop it, and finally, deploy it. Deploy it. Use it. God wants you to use your gift. Letting it remain dormant is not an option for true disciples. It's just not an option. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you, a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them. Use them well to serve one another. Note the word use. Circle it, underline it, highlight it, but note it. God didn't put these supernatural abilities within you just so they could collect dust sitting in your spiritual trophy case. He gave them to you because He expected you to cultivate them, to use them, to increase them. had a very practical purpose in mind when he put them within you. There was a job needing done. There was a goal that needed to be reached. There was a cause that needed to be advanced, and he designed you to do it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? Here's the reason. It is so God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. This is serious business to God. This business of spiritual gifts, it is serious to God. Now, listen, he won't hold you accountable. He won't for the gifts you don't have, but he will for the ones that you do have. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I think of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, where the master comes and he gives talents, not the talents like America's Got Talent, you know, idea, but talents, a kingdom resource. And he expects us to take those, to use those, to increase those for his glory. And so that's why the title of this message is You Are Gifted and Talented. There's a talent, there's a trust that is required of us. God saw fit, he thought enough of us to give it to us. Now we need to develop it for his glory. God has made an investment in you, and it would just be a sin against God, and it would be a crime against humanity, really, to waste it. So don't. Discover your gifts, develop those gifts, and then get in the game. Deploy them for his glory. One last thing. God has given you three incredible gifts. Salvation, the Holy Spirit, and spiritual gifts that came at salvation, part of the package. Now, why did he do that? Why did he gift you? Because he loves you. Why do you give somebody a gift? Because you hate them? Because you don't like them? Because you're trying to buy them off? Maybe, but not God. He gives gifts because he's a giver. He gives gifts because he loves us. I hope as you leave this place today that you will think about that and allow his love gifts implanted in you to so stir your being that you want to respond in love in return back to him, especially by using the gifts that he's given you to bring glory and honor to him. That's love. I read a story some time ago that really touched me. The story about a couple, Jim and Mary. True story. And Jim and Mary had a dog named Lucky. Apparently, Lucky was quite a character, kind of like my dog. Quite a character. Whenever company would come to stay overnight, Jim and Mary would warn the company, make sure you keep your suitcase zipped because Lucky likes to help himself to whatever he can find in those open suitcases. Well, inevitably, someone would forget and something would turn up missing. Sure enough, they would go down to the basement where Lucky kept all of his toys, and there in his toy box, they would find the gift. Now, Lucky's. Now, Lucky was very particular about keeping all of his toys in his box, just a peculiar kind of dog. Well, as time went by, tragically, Mary discovered that she had cancer. She was diagnosed with a very difficult form of cancer. And she had a fear, this sense of foreboding that this was not going to end well for her. She was scared, very scared. And so with overwhelming fear, she went ahead and scheduled the operation. And the night before surgery, she cuddled with Lucky. And as she spent this time with this dog, she wondered what would happen to him if she didn't make it through the operation. Because Lucky was her dog through and through. It was her dog. And she just suspected that if she died, that Jim would probably give the dog up. And she thought about that as she cuddled with her dog. She began to get very sad. She thought, as dog lovers would understand, Lucky won't understand why I'm not here. He won't understand that I didn't want to leave him. And that very thought made her even sadder than the possibility of her dying. Well, she went in for the operation, and it was very, very difficult. And Mary ended up spending several weeks in the hospital. And while she was gone, Jim would faithfully take Lucky for his walks and do what he was supposed to do. But the dog didn't respond very well. He just got whiny and mopey and was miserable, got depressed. Finally, Mary was able to come home. But when she got home, she was so exhausted that she couldn't even make it up the stairs to her bedroom. And so Jim made her comfortable on the couch, and after a while, he left so that she could take a nap. Mary noticed that Lucky was kind of a distance away. He was by himself. He wasn't engaging. And it made her very, very sad that he would not come when she called him. Very sad. Well, she just became very tired, very sleepy, and soon she dozed off. She took a nap. And then she awoke from that nap, and she awoke to a start. Something was wrong. Something was not right. She felt very confined, very, very weighted down, and it was hot. She was hotter than she should have been. And it was concerning to her. But when the fog of sleep disappeared, her panic turned to laughter when she realized that Lucky had gone to the basement time and time again, and he had brought up every treasure in his toy box and had put them over her, over Mary. He had covered her with his gifts of love. And Mary said that was a defining moment for her. She quit thinking about dying and started to live again. It was a turning point in her life. Friends, the Father has lavished you with gifts of love. They're called spiritual gifts. And I pray that that will cause a birth of spiritual energy and a sustainable burst of passion and joy and fulfillment and fruitfulness and satisfaction in your life. I pray that for you today. And if you experience that in your life, guess what? We're going to experience that as a church. Amen? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast with Ray Noah, continuing his series called Simplify, Getting Back to the Basics of Simple Faith. To help you further, take time to look at the outline available with this podcast. Now, if you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect, you can find out more information about our service times and programs right here on our website at pcctoday.com.